Let's go ahead and get started then. Okay, IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. I'll paste in a link to the place where you can join the CCG group. And for that, you first need a W3 web account. That link is here. It's free and open to the public for community groups. And to read the text of the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement, please see this link that I pasted into Jitsi. The call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at our CCG GitHub meetings repo, and that's available at this link. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. All attendees should type present plus. That's the word present, symbol plus. I probably see people doing it right now. You can type that either in Jitsi chat or in IRC, and that'll get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. And to add yourself to the queue, type Q plus. That's the symbol, the letter Q, sorry, and symbol plus, just like I've done. And that will get you added to the queue. If you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue and we'll add you. And please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus again. This meeting is held by voice, not by IRC. Off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay. Now's our favorite time of the call, scribe selection. We need a volunteer to scribe, so I want to point out this is a very special call. Not only is it 420, it's my last call moderating. So, it's been an honor to serve everyone on my last day. It's more like May 1st, but, this should be the last one moderating in the rotation. So, I'm looking forward to continuing in the community as a participant. So, Pete, thank you so much. I will mark you as scribe. Okay, let's move on to introductions and reintroductions. And please add yourself to the queue if you're new to the call or if you have any sort of job change titles, new projects or focuses that you would like to call out. This is a good time to introduce yourself in a new context. Kyle, you're up. Can people hear me?
Oh, yes, but they can't hear Kyle.
Okay. Kyle?
Kyle, close Zoom.
I heard Kyle for half a second.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, yep, close Zoom. I figured I'd join... I oftentimes don't join the CCG calls, cause I'm in New Zealand and it's a bad time zone for me. But I'm working with Matter, and we're heavily involved, from the asynchronous perspective and working on CCG work items, and involved in W3C working groups and diff and stuff like that. So I'm a developer and working on standards here for Matter.
Great. Good to see you here, Kyle, and thanks for joining. I know the time zone difference is challenging. Anyone else would like to introduce themselves? Okay, I think we also do reintroductions. Just one second. I get to call on some poor unsuspecting soul. Okay, Ganesh appears to be up. I'm not sure if I see him on the call. Ganesh, are you here?
He's not.
Let's go through some more. Oh, I'm next on the... Okay, so I guess I'll reintroduce myself. I'm Hamilton Duffy. I've been a CCG chair for a while, a few years, and about to leave it in the hands of Heather and Wayne. And actually, this is a good time to say that we need a new chair, so please volunteer and reach out to me if you have any questions about what's involved. I'm happy to mentor you. My main gig now is with the Digital Credentials Consortium. It's a group of 12 universities, and we're working on solutions that include a lot of the standards that this group works on. So I'm trying to think. Oh, yes. We're focusing lately on some work from the U.S. Department of Education around student wallets. And so we've been using that to sort of redirect attention to universal wallet interops. So very focused on wallets and, interoperability lately. So if that's something that you're interested in, please reach out. That's it for me. Okay, I move myself to the end of reintroductions. Let me just check the queue again. Okay. Announcements and reminders. Okay, one thing today is that IIW is happening. It's underway right now. If you are, it's possible you can still get in. So let's see. I don't know if anyone here will serve as a contact for anyone still interested, but otherwise a lot of us will be at IIW. So most of the announcements are just the recurring meetings. So the weekly CCG call, we've moved back to our normal time, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, et cetera. Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force, we meet every Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, et cetera. And so we're focusing heavily on educational use cases, so schema design, and hopefully we'll move past that sometime soon. DID resolution calls on Mondays, also weekly. That is 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, et cetera. Confidential storage, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And that one is co-hosted with the Decentralized Identity Foundation. Any other announcements that anyone would like to add? Oh, we have Manu.
Yeah, so thanks, Kim. And thanks for reminding me, Heather. Totally forgot. So today's going to be a kind of a quick overview, introduction to the VC-HTTP API with some discussion around, how to schedule that work. I expect that we're not going to be able to get through everything. And so there is another meeting on the VC-HTTP API on Thursday. Those details were sent out to the mailing list. I believe it's 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific. And the expectation there is that we're going to dive into more of the details around the structure of the repository and the structure of specifications and the types of documents we want to create and that sort of thing. So it's kind of a continuation of the call today. That's it.
Thank you. And let's see. Okay. Next we're going to cover progress and action items. And then we use GitHub labels to keep track of that. And apologies, this was coming in quite hot. I did this just now. Or did I? Yes. Okay. Oh, wait, did I include it? Yeah, that's the link. Okay. Next steps from solid meeting. Yeah, so Heather, can I call on you to talk through this one?
Yeah, actually it's been a little bit derailed because we've been working with some other stuff that have been coming up in the CCG leadership. But the idea was we had those two sets of solid meetings, an intro on the of solid CCG to solid and solid to CCG. And the thought was I was going to circle back with Sarvan. I know there was also discussion about involvement in the secure confidential data storage call about that. And to be honest, there's just been other higher priority emergencies happening regarding chair leadership issues that I have not had a moment to address this. So that's the update on that.
Thanks, Heather. And you said circle back with Sarvan, actually?
Sarvan. Sarvan is the person in the solid, I'll type his name.
Got it.
Sarvan, S-A-R-V-E-N, not Sarvan. Sarvan is a person, and he was kind of the person I coordinated with to set it up. Like he was like my counterpart on the solid side to coordinate all the presentations and stuff. And I think like the kind of takeaway I got was, and I mean, this was from the community at the end of the calls was, there's a lot of interest, and the best way to do that would be to find a way to practically work together. And I think one of the things was, there was like one did method, I think on the solid side. Dimitri, feel free to jump in because I know you were also kind of, like involved in some of that as well. And then also, regarding the storage stuff, those were kind of like the two areas that it seemed like they were, you know, I don't want to say low hanging fruit, but like seemed like they were, low impact, of a way to collaborate. At the same time, people in the CCG have a lot of stuff going on, right? We have a lot of different task forces. We've got the candidate recommendation of the DID spec. And so I think a lot of us are being stretched a bit thin. So that's why I didn't really worry too much about following up on this, because there were more kind of pressing emergency issues to address before we start actively interacting on other work items. If someone would like to take the lead or co-lead with me on next steps on this, I would love it.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable. The confidential storage group seems like a good landing place for it. So, you know, one thing I'll do in it is just tag for, you know, I don't think this necessarily needs to be on Heather's plate. I think we can just find someone in confidential storage to continue engaging there, and that might be a good way forward. Anyone confidential storage on the call? Or Dimitri, are you here?
I am, yes. So exactly, plus one to what you said. We've been encouraging the Solid Community Group to join both this CCG, if they have the bandwidth, but especially join the Confidential Storage Task Force Working Group, especially the hubs side of it, since that seems to be the closest Venn diagram overlap with Solid.
That sounds good. So I think just to move this one forward, it seems like besides that, there's probably no immediate follow-up. So I can just say propose to close this next week with no objections. It's, yeah, I agree. There's a lot going on. We're probably not going to...
Kim, like, rather than closing it, like, I mean, like, I'm fine closing it, but this is really the only place we're tracking it. And so... I don't know if we can mark it as low priority or mark it like as a thing. I mean, if we close it here, I have a concern that it might totally get dropped off, which is why I haven't closed it before. I'm not opposed to closing it and taking it off the to-do list, but that's pretty much going to mean then that probably this is going to drop through the cracks then.
Okay. Well, let me just mark that low priority so that we can, just when we quickly scan it, we can know and we can deal with that later. Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. And the next one that I have tagged is right here. And this is hold VC maintenance meeting to discuss PRs for inclusion. And I know that this one, actually, who are the chairs of the maintenance? So I think it's Brent, Wayne, and perhaps Dan. So do any of the chairs of the VC maintenance, okay, we have Manu up.
Yeah, didn't mean to, Wayne's, I'm going to defer to Wayne. I'll take myself off the queue.
Yeah, so we have a PR coming into VC data model repository that will outline the ways that different issues and changes to the spec will be triaged and the decision-making process there. So we, as soon as that gets merged in, we're going to announce the list on how to make the spec. We also have a timeline for what could be more major changes in a future version of the spec. If there are any questions, happy to take them.
Wonderful. Let me take a look at the queue. Oh, at Manu Act himself and Heather did too. Okay, great. Let me just make a note of that. So have PR coming soon.
Sorry, I just added myself to the queue really quick, Cam.
Oh, okay, got it, yeah.
Wayne, do you have a time frame for when this is going to happen? And do you think you can update that PR with that time frame, please?
Yeah, in terms of the, are you specifically asking about the PR timeframe, or do you mean the second version of the verifiable credential spec?
Well, that PR was an action item based out of the VC maintenance meeting that I organized. And, rather than let things slip through the cracks, I put it as a PR here. So I'm really more interested in the to-do that the PR speaks to.
Yeah, so do you mean the PR for the instructions on contributions to the specification, or do you mean the timeline for the second version of the spec? I can talk about both timelines if that's helpful.
If I remember, there were actually like two task items based on that. I'm only seeing... I don't know, maybe it's 180, create work item process maintenance mode of inactive working. I'm just looking, those are both at the same time. There were like two action items that came out of that initial VC maintenance meeting. And so I just, you know, that happened back in February. So I want to just make sure that the follow-up meeting to discuss the PRs for inclusion occurs in a timely manner.
Okay, we'll be sure to include those answers in the PR. Thank you.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear what it is, and so I just would appreciate if there, you know, was a time frame put in it when action's going to be taken.
Noted. Thank you.
Oops. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Let's see. Okay, I think we're ready for one of the main topics, which is VC HTTP API concerns and scope. We have it tracked. Thank you, Heather, for opening the issue, which is right here. I forget the protocol. Like, I can screen share, but I'm not sure if people are doing that lately. Like, if there's concerns that I might crash things. So, any guidance on screen sharing?
So we
can go ahead, Manu.
All right, we've been doing it on other meetings. I know that Heather's machine gets pretty bogged down when we screen share.
Okay.
So defer to others.
Well, actually, so I don't distract. I think that Manu, you were sort of going to lead this part. Is that correct?
I can. I had just thrown a slide deck out to the mailing list as an option. Totally defer to the chairs on how we run this part of the call. I think Ori should also, you know, provide input, you know, during this process.
Let's start there. I see that you added it to the, you sent a PDF to the group. And let me, actually, I can screen share that. And also, maybe I'll make a link to that real fast. Sorry, one sec.
And apologies. I shared also a Google slide deck in chat and just updated the preferences, so anyone should be able to look at it at this point.
Thank you. I see it now. Okay. If you want to screen share, you can do that. But let me know if you want me to.
Okay. All right. Can do. So real quick, can folks see that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to go through this really quickly. It's meant to effectively just be an introduction to the topic. Juan, if you can only see half of it, click on the chat window and click on it again, and it should recenter. It's one of those Jitsi bugs. This kind of introduction is on the verifiable credentials HTTP API. It's meant to enable kind of system to system flows, like client to server type things. We'll go into, you know, how it's used in the slide deck. Just quickly, I think we're just going to cover the first part of this. The proposals to address the challenges is kind of meant for Thursday. So it's just going to be like a problem statement for the VCHTTP API, where it came from, you know, who's implemented it, you know, some of the use cases, current challenges, that kind of thing. And then I think we're meant to kind of break into a discussion around how to structure, the work. This is just my take at the problem statement. There may be other folks that feel differently about, you know, the problem statement, but I think, you know, it came from this desire to be able to issue and verify data that's used in the verifiable credentials ecosystem. And this is meant to be like not person facing, not customer consumer facing stuff. It's meant to be like used in the back room, the server to server communication. It's a software, thing. It's not, you know, a human facing, thing by and large. I tried to be, loose and say issue and verify data. What I mean by that are actually verifiable credentials, verifiable presentations, derived credentials. There's some, disagreement about, you know, what parts, it should do and what parts it shouldn't do. But I think in general, this problem statement, you know, hopefully holds, for folks. Disagree with the problem statement. So go ahead, Ori.
So I think it's an accurate summary of some of the perspectives that have been shared in the community. So I agree that it's a effective description of certain perspectives within the community. I personally think that an API that's meant to be internal only and never exposed doesn't really do what we have been saying this API is doing in the sense of allowing for provable interoperability. So I think to describe this API as an internal only API is at the root of major disagreements within the community and the cause of many of the problems around whether or not the API should support certain features or not, or how the API is meant to be used. So I just want to say that, like, certainly from my perspective, describing this as an internal API is harmful to its future contribution model.
So Manu, I know you're on the queue, and I'm definitely let you respond, but also probably take further comments on this to the end, because it sounds like I don't want discussion of this one aspect of it to derail your presentation. So we can just log this as an issue and come back to it. So go ahead and then proceed with your presentation.
Sure. And I wanted to agree with Ori. I mean, it doesn't say internal here in the problem definition. I definitely use that as the worst. That's where it started from, but I think it's changing. Like, you know, that anyway, that's one of the conflicts that I think needs to be discussed. Okay. So in general, that's the problem statement. This is an example of where you can use the VC HTTP API. I want to be very clear in this diagram that this is not the only way it can be used. In fact, there are many different architectures that it fits into. This is one of them that, you know, has had some level of review, at least in the DHS Silicon Valley Innovation Program. And the idea here is that, you know, again, this is where the disagreement is. Is it only a backend API, or should we be able to move it out, to the edge so that people on the internet can interface with the API? So just as an example of, like, you know, people are, let me kind of set the stage. So, you're a person and you've got a digital wallet. You know that this web, you want to pick up a credential at a website. You go to the website, and then you authenticate with the website. You fill out some information, and then it gives you a verifiable credential, right? So this is your wallet that you're using. One assumption we make here is that you're in the browser, even though this doesn't always have to hold. You hit an application website. So this is just you using your browser to go to a website. You ask them for a credential. And then in the back end, that website has to create the credential in some way, right? And in fact, it needs to do two things. When you show up with your wallet, it wants to authenticate you using something like DidAuth. And the application back end, using the VC HTTP API, could hit the verifier and verify your DID auth, you know, request. Just verify the cryptography. Everything's cool. Looks right. And then the second thing that you do is, once you've authenticated with the website, maybe using DID auth, you then say, I want this particular type of credential. There's application website specific stuff that happens. Maybe it collects your name. Maybe it collects, you know, date of birth, something. And then the application backend will collect some data from their backend databases and then put it into a verifiable credential to be issued. So the issuer will do a digital signature over it, you know, package it up, and then hand it back to the website, which then hands it back to your wallet. But in that whole flow, the VC HTTP API are these two green connections. This is where you would use the VC HTTP API. Let me pause there to see if there's anyone on the queue. I'm going to go into where kind of this came from in a second.
Anil is on the queue.
Oops. So it'll be interesting to see if Manu's perspective on the origin actually matches mine, right? So I'll simply note that in the work that DHS SVIP is funding around this area, there was a hard requirement in our solicitation, because we've been in the past as an organization being walked into a corner by vendors that tried to lock us into their platform using licensed API. So there was something specific in our solicitation that talked to the fact that if you have APIs that are facing the issuer or the verifier, they will be open, royalty-free, free to implement for anybody. And one of the first things that we, when we met with the companies that we awarded, the multiple ones that we awarded that are working with SVIP, is we actually sat them together and said, you know what? We expect you to work out in the public to define this API. We're not going to want you to actually use our internal APIs in order to model that, because that becomes entirely government-y. We want you to work out in the open. We want you to get community input, and we want you to evolve this such that anybody who is either an issuer of this or a verifier of this has a standardized API that you can leverage. There was no mention of internal versus external things like that. And to Kim's point on the chat, yeah, there is nothing precluding this from something that is actually exposed to the outside. And we fully are anticipating for some of our use cases exposing some variation of this API to the entities that we interact with in the broader global ecosystem. So thank you.
Thanks, Anil. Manu, no one else on the queue.
Okay, thanks. And while you were saying that, Anil, I was flipping through, you know, the slides that you were talking to. So as Anil said, you know, this really, the origin of the VCHTTP API really came out of a need from the DHS program, the SVIP program, to demonstrate true multi-vendor interoperability. That's where it came out of. And we used the VCHTTP API in the first interop test to take a bunch of inputs in and then run those tests against every single participant's, every single vendor's platform, right? So we needed something to automate the test suite, something to make the calls to make sure that when you issued a credential, you could verify it against another vendor and everything, you know, worked out. And it really did help us meet that need, right? To demonstrate a true demonstration of multi-vendor interoperability from an issuer and verifier perspective. It helped us also build these kinds of like matrices on, you know, who supports what. So there are features that we can test in the test suite using the HTTP API on who passes what, you know, when, you know, are they planning on implementing it in the future, you know, things of that nature. So it's been a really useful tool just for the interop aspect. But as Ori mentioned, there are other use cases and flows that are not ideally represented here that we need, you know, vendors need to demonstrate not only interop on, but just the ability to move things, you know, back and forth. So enterprise APIs being one of them. So one of the other benefits that this VCHTTP API has given us is the ability, and I mean in general for the CCG, is this ability to have all the, be able to create a vocabulary. Like, for example, this vaccination certificate work that a number of, you know, companies in the CCG are working on, we were able to leverage the VCHTTP API and the vendor endpoints that are out there today to put together a data model, you know, through the work that Matter has done, put together a data model for vaccination certificates, and then do N by N interoperability testing. So we went from zero to 1,624 tests in the matter of a week, right? It's a really powerful tool to demonstrate, to just check to make sure that the thing that the certificates you're creating, these verifiable credentials, are in fact, you know, work across vendors when you have one vendor issuing and another one verifying. Okay, so this kind of brings us to the current challenges, and there are more, you know, there are more challenges than probably the ones that are listed here. One of the things that the API started out as this open API specification, this YAML file, and that's more or less all the documentation. That's most of the documentation that people are looking at now. But that doesn't really give you an understanding about like the use cases or the requirements or the explanation or the data flows, right? So there's no use cases document really. There's no respec style specification document other than the one that Ori, you know, has put together. for the traceability API. There are really no documented data flows other than, you know, maybe a couple in an architecture document that's kind of hidden in the repository. There's no agreement on the document structure. And I think most importantly, there's no lead editor. There's no, you know, no one in the lead saying that they're leading the thing. It's just been something that all the companies have kind of been hacking on, for a year. And that all of these things, I think, are, you know, coming to a head now, where we need to make progress. We're kind of log jammed making progress. There's gnashing of teeth, and we need to kind of figure that out. So let me stop there. That's just, Kim, hopefully that was a decent enough intro to kind of start a discussion.
Yeah, that was great. And I thought we had a queue, but now we don't. I think actually Juan is up.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to plus one that last slide. It's really hard to know where to start. I've really, really hesitate to strawman a UCR document because that's really not my forte, but, I've been kicking around a Google Doc with some of the people, in the traceability vocab group. And if it would help to share it while it's still a Google Doc rather than wait till it gets to like a PR, we could do that on this call or Thursday's call. But I don't know. I'm not even sure if that's a helpful, suggestion. So I completely defer to the moderators and the chairs here.
And actually we do have a queue now. Manu, I just, before we start going through, I did want to level set. So you mentioned a call later in the week. And you mentioned earlier, so your expectation is not necessarily that we come out with a solution today. And as we're at 40 minutes after. So, you know, we did have another item that could probably occupy about 10 minutes. So, is the idea here just to sort of, gain visibility into the problem, maybe get some people's thoughts on it, but not necessarily come to a resolution. And Manu, I'm going to call on you to jump the queue to answer that.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this call is mostly for everyone to kind of air their grievances and get the concerns on the table so that we have at least a day or so to think about it before we start trying to, you know, put proposals forward on Thursday on how we address these. So I can go through what some of those proposals might be, but, you know, I think this needs to come from the community. The community needs to figure out how they're going to work together on this thing and what the scope is and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, we don't need to have any solutions today, but we have to have a very clear understanding of like the problems.
Great. Thank you. And, Marcus, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little bit about the origin and scope. So Manu and Anil already talked about that a little bit. I just wanted to add another part of this, which is that when we started this work guide and when we started working on this API, a lot of people were asking, how does this relate to existing protocols for transferring credentials, for issuing and requesting credentials and transmitting them between an issuer holder and a verifier? How does this relate to OpenID Connect, SIOP and DITCOM and CHAPI? And at least in the beginning, the answer was that it's independent of that and it covers a different part of the architecture. It was not about transmitting credentials between the issuer, the holder and the verifier. But that could change, right? So I'm just saying this in a neutral way, this question is probably part of the issues that Manu outlined about data flows and requirements.
Heather, you're up next.
Thanks, Kim. So I think there's also like the context in which we need to consider how to solve this. The requests to the things, the concerns that have been raised is to get feedback from the community. However, this work has been done in a walled garden. Like, and by that I mean it's been done in the open of the CCG, but by the SVIP cohort. And I didn't actually like it wasn't clear exactly what all this did until I sat through 15 hours of meetings a couple weeks ago and then saw the power of like actual interop happening. And so I guess for all the folks who have been part of the SVIP companies and cohorts working on this, you guys really know what's going on and all the nuances and details, and you want to like run really fast, but you're also asking for the community to contribute and work. And, there hasn't been any like, get up to speed or share like 101 or any kind of like easy on ramp to get up to speed quickly in this space. And so in some ways, you know, it's really challenging to be able to make a comment on something that you don't really know that much about. That's not super clear. So, you know, I really want to support having the community having feedback on this. And, to do that, we need the SVIP cohort that's been working in the open of the CCG to kind of like educate the broader community on what it is and the nuances so we can really understand the context of the issues or concerns or questions that are being raised. And I know behind the scenes we've had discussions about doing that. So, you know, I just want to state that out in the open, like an on-ramp, you know, like let's start with baby steps or the shallow part of the pool rather than the deep end, which we all seem to cannonball into.
Thank you, Heather. And so you touched on some things that caused me idea of, I'm on the queue next, so let me act myself, you know, some kind of reflection about like how the work item got created. And so I took sort of a spin on it of how did we, you know, what was the context in the CCG at the time when this work item was created? So let me just share my screen real fast. Oh, here we go. Okay. So I won't read through all of these, but basically, okay, so there are two categories. There's the scope, and it seems like Manu has, and some people in the community or the contributors to this work item have some ideas on scope. So there's the idea of, you know, well, right. So there's that. Then there's the idea of like, okay, given what exists now, how do we make it readable to some users? So, I was thinking, I broke things down into several themes. One that I think was critical was that when this work item was created, we hadn't yet had the new work item template additions that Heather added around, you know, the context, human readable language, things like that. So, some questions that I have just more for the community to, think over, not answer in this call, but, you know, were there additional questions or clarifications we could have asked? Then, other new work item requirements. So one, I think it's important to say, like, this maybe is, you know, the fact that we just sort of accepted it without really understanding what it was. Maybe there's some, kind of easy work item onboarding things we could figure out. The next theme was user facing docs, which is, you know, it is a struggle with the, entry point being like a Swagger API doc is so, you know, in general, are there some easy doc cleanup things we could do also to include as general guidance? Because I don't want to say, like, I don't want to throw the VCHTTP work item people under the bus, because I feel like if we have concerns, we should, be using it to inform requirements going forward. You know, so one specific idea that occurred to me is, okay, for any work item that's in the state that it's in, where it's confusing, I like the idea of having a CCG 101 presentation. The attendees can write up their interpretation of it and then get review by the code owner. So for example, the slides that Manu created are a really good start in orientation. Maybe we can sort of use, not to jump on CCG 101, but that might be a way or something like that. Use an educational and, writing collaboration kind of thing. And then the last area was just clarification on how we handle pull requests and conflict resolution. I won't really get into that one, but, you know, are there any other sort of process issues around how we deal with PRs, requirements for expectation and response? Okay, I will leave it at that. Who do we have on the queue? Manu, you're up.
Yeah, mostly to, I mean, yeah, plus one to that. I think there are a number of things that we just need to pause and document so that people have a good on-ramp instead of hitting a YAML file, you know, the first thing. Mike asked a good question, I think, which is part of, I think, the conflict, you know, the current, around the current conflict, which is, what's the scope of this thing? Because when we started it, we were like, oh, it's just for internal APIs, it's behind the firewall type stuff, you know, it's fairly constrained, but it has become very apparent, you know, that many companies want there to be kind of a holder-like API, meaning like I want to be able to instruct a system to, you know, create a presentation or, you know, send a presentation or receive a presentation. There are all these flows that are required to move data around the ecosystem. So I think the first question, you know, around scope is, do we want to open the scope up from internal only to you know, external facing APIs. I believe there are many companies that want to do this. We just need to get, you know, acknowledgement and get everyone to agree to that. Once we do that, it becomes much easier to classify use cases and requirements. And it gets much easier to figure out what types of specs we're creating. You know, one monolithic spec, three different specs with an explainer. Like, it's just the biggest, I think, conversation we need to have is the scoping conversation. So that's it. And when it comes to scope, it's like, you know, we do want this API to enable, you know, a lot of use cases in the ecosystem. And there is a glaring hole right now that we need to, you know, talk about. And that's the quote unquote holder API, thing. So I'll stop right there.
Thanks, Manu. I'm going to call on Anil and actually close with Anil on this topic so we can move to the next one.
Thank you, Kim. So just to, first of all, rewind a little bit to both the comments that both Heather and Kim made about the visibility, the documentation, the challenges that somebody has who comes to the VC-HTTP API to understand what it does, what it does not do, how to contribute to it, how to utilize it, fully acknowledged, fully understood, fully agree with all of those comments, right? So I will, that is something that we will, that is the reason we are having this discussion. Because, but I'll also let me forward a tad bit here as well. What is the value of the VC HTTP API? The value of that was basically a clear demonstration of multi-vendor, multi-platform interoperability across 8 companies who have all implemented the VC HTTP API and were able to, independent of the technology stacks that they were using, some of them were on, you know, Hyperledger Fabric with Golang library, some of them were on, you know, something completely different, right? So they were able to demonstrate interoperability. That is the power of this work. But the problem is everything that we just talked about. It is hard for people who are not embedded in it to understand it. And we want to basically make sure that we are clearly taking a pause right now. And at least from the SVIP side, I have committed and we've talked to the companies in our portfolio to make sure that this is an expectation going forward that we will fully support, document, help make this as easy as possible and for the community to both use, contribute, and refine. Because at the end of the road, this is the API that DHS as an organization will need to implement, and these companies will need to implement in order to provide that interoperability that we are expecting. So we want this to basically be something that is clearly has buy-in and input and use in the global technical community that is using VCs and DIDs.
Thank you, Anil. And actually, we do have Troy. So I'll close with Troy, and then we'll really move on to the next. Troy? I'm not hearing Troy, so I guess we'll move on to the next item.
Does it work?
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. I just wanted to comment that we're interested in having the scope of holder APIs and also mediation APIs so that we can do data exchange. I pointed to some issue links in the chat, but I wanted to voice our support for those capabilities.
Thank you, Troy. And I notice I'm still sharing that window. Let me try to stop sharing it, which didn't work. Oh, here we go. Okay, so let's move on to the next item, which is CCG work item / meeting requirements. This came out of some discussions related to the previous item. Let's see. The traceability API work item brought up some questions around requirements for the CCG process for conducting work in the open, basically how to run the calls, including Jitsi specifically, where the documentation needs to live. I think there's a few people who seem to have, this was discussed in last week's traceability call, which I wasn't there for. I wanted to maybe, I'm trying to think of who to call on first for this, either Heather or, Ori. Let me see. Okay. Actually, Manu is not up first.
Sorry, Kim. I was trying to predict a question. Are you asking who was given permission to run meetings for traceability or?
A couple of, well, so that's useful to know, but then also, Ori had requested, more documentation about how to run the meetings. My impression is that the infrastructure task force had started on some of this. Maybe Wayne can also talk to that. So like, how does someone figure out how to do that for their own, not necessarily just task forces, but work items going forward? So Manu, you go first.
Sorry, Kim, I'm going to follow everyone because mine is more procedural, like okay. How to get your own room. So, Ori's up.
Okay. Ori, go ahead.
Yeah. So, and just to repeat, you know, the request that I made to the chairs for everybody's benefit on the call. If we are going to have meetings, you know, obviously they're not necessarily always going to be in the best time zones for everyone on the planet, but we obviously need to make sure we're conforming to the rules and regulations associated with having meetings. I don't think there's any thing preventing folks who work on items from meeting independently, but when we do have regular meetings, they need to be recorded, notes need to be made available, etc. And in order for the community to have any hope of that ever working really well, we need to provide the community members with basically very explicit instructions on how to have those meetings, and those instructions on how those meetings should be had and when they are should be included in the README for every work item, certainly at the top level, in order to encourage folks who want to attend those meetings to attend and to make it easy for everyone to run meetings. So that was my request. And it seems like we're still in the process of figuring out exactly how to do that for any meetings other than this regularly reoccurring meeting that we're on today.
Thank you, Ori. Heather, you're up.
Hey, yeah. So, on that traceability call, last week, I asked a series of questions to try to understand if this needs to be a task force because, I didn't want it to be actually. And in the conversation between Ori and I, we realized that, that work items can have a series of meetings, and I don't know that that has been explicitly noted in the, in our, you know, CCG process documentation. Behind the scenes, I actually checked in with Manu because I'm running meetings for my CCG 101 call. And sometimes we record these and sometimes we don't. And I use Zoom and stuff. And so I wanted to get some guidance on what work items does it make sense for us to record meetings on, and have like full IPR, you know, recorded meetings for, and are there certain work items or meetings that don't? And, you know, the back channel that Manu and I had, and I mean, I'd be curious for people's thoughts on that too, is, you know, the 101 calls are about documentation and, you know, we're creating IP to be shared. But we're not really going to be competing with, each other. It's all that content's going to go out into the world. So maybe it's not so critical to record the meetings for us, just like project managing, you know, that kind of stuff. But in a case like traceability, you know, there were concerns about, you know, companies working together, transparency, being able to listen to it. And so I just identified kind of like a gap in direction here, you know, and I think, you know, the chairs of the community, we could come up with a bit of clarity on what are the guidelines for things that need to follow, like the, you know, hardcore CCG minutes and which ones can be a little bit more lax. And I will also say that I do have, for creating minutes is really easy. There's two sets of documentation to do it. There's one, here. I'll pop it in. And then I just use the GitHub interface because I don't want to download all the minutes. The GitHub desktop interface. And here's instructions for that. And it literally takes like 5 minutes unless you edit the JSON file and mess it up, which I do on a regular basis. So, you know, there is documentation. The problem with the documentation on this stuff is like, it's kind of all over the map. It's like, I did a tour of all the various CCG sites to the 101 team. And it's just kind of like mind blowing, like at where everything is. So I definitely think we could use some organization on that. So sorry, I spoke kind of a bit, but I'll finish there.
Thanks, Heather. And Wayne, you're up next.
Thanks. I know we're at time, so I'll be quick. I support a more permissive policy for people who want to host meetings and have recordings and notes. I think it's, you know, pretty straightforward to find more resourcing if we need more server storage or things like that. I think that anything we can do to empower the community, I'm generally in favor of. So I think one of the issues that I'm going to make an infrastructure task force is to actually provide those instructions and potentially a draft of a policy about who can run meetings, who approves those meetings getting formed, where you can find the public notes, et cetera. I think I would target for sometime early or mid-May to have that instruction set up. So if there are no objections, I'd like to proceed down this direction.
That's great. I think we have Manu next.
Yeah. A plus one. I think there does need to be just a refresh of the documentation on how to do this. So from a technical perspective, it's pretty easy. So the traceability call, you know, it seemed like they needed a place to have their call. Creating the room from them took 5 minutes. And enabling the people that are going to run that meeting. So Heather was on that meeting. We had a chair there as well, to ask, you know, who's going to be in charge of running these meetings. I think, Ori, Mahmoud, Mike Prorock, and Juan stepped forward. And they have admin rights to create that room and run it, start the recordings, which will automatically transcribe everything. You know, that you need a scribe still clearly, but all of that infrastructure is there. Like this thing that we're using today, it's the exact same infrastructure, but you get kind of your own room to do that. Clearly, like the chairs, you know, I think the chairs have to kind of approve that, you know, to happen. But once that happens, it's really easy to set it up. So I think all we're missing right now is just some documentation to run people through doing that the first time. And as Heather said, you know, I cleaned up and published the traceability minutes. It really didn't take long at all. There's some really great improvements that I think, you know, I believe Kim, you know, has done in, over time. So all that to say, it's fairly easy to give people access to this stuff. I think you just need to, you know, ask for it.
Thank you, Manu. And we are over time. I'm going to close with Tall Ted.
Thanks. As I put in the chat there, it's best to err on the side of more recorded information, particularly where we're operating under the aegis of a W3 community group. Part of the culture here is to do it in the open, to make it so that anybody who's not there can see what happened there. If it needs to be a private thing, if you want to set up an industry consortium, that's great. But don't do it within the W3 CCG. That's all.
Thank you very much. Okay, thanks, everyone. Have a great week and see some of you at IOW.